I was 19 years old, and it was the fact that it was like cold and rainy and forested here. I was like, that sounds awesome. Because I was born and raised in Los Angeles, and then my family are from Juarez, Chihuahua. So I would go from like beautiful sunny LA, and then when I would go down and hang out with my family in Mexico, it'd be like dry, desolate desert, big ass city. So I was like, man, I want to change. I want some heavy, thick forests. You know, I want some swampy. I want to see some mushrooms on the ground. You know, so so that you know, and you know, Portland back then, there wasn't much going on, but I was able to find a job here as a social worker. So I was like a Latinx liaison. And that was a crazy job. So I did that for a couple of years when I first moved here. And that was awesome. But when I first moved here, I moved out to 102nd and Sandy. Because coming from Los Angeles, I was like, oh, it's only 100 blocks away from downtown. That ain't That's easy. 100 blocks. And then I moved here. I'm like, what? Where's downtown? I was so spoiled by living in Los Angeles, where it's such a huge city, you know. And then I came to Portland. I'm like, oh, Portland's tiny. It's adorable. And I still, you know... Yeah, it's still adorable in its own crazy way.
Ayana, I want to make sure that we're making space for you to ask questions if you like. You're welcome to jump in or...
Well, I did want to ask about the Homie Fest.
Oh, yeah.
So, like...
Of course.
Because of COVID, it couldn't happen last year. But, like...
Correct.
As we're slowly opening up and moving on, what are the plans for the Homie Fest?
I think we are not going to do it again this year. Because my wife and I were contemplating it. We're just like, it would be so cool if we just limited to just 100 people. Because we always wanted to be free in all ages and open to the public. Yeah. Did you go?
No, not yet.
No, you haven't?
But it would seem cool to go to.
Yeah, they're really, really fun. It's just the last few years we had it at our friend's farm out in Estacada, and it was just free camping, and it was just so cool. And there was just bands all day, like half hour sets, and there was one stage. And so it was all these rad bands like Y La Bamba, Like a Villain, you know, it was just Reptalians. It's all friend bands, you know. So it's a beautiful experience. But even though it's outside, I just don't feel that we can do it this year. As sad as that is, I don't want to put anyone at risk, you know, and because it's such a big old like love fest, it's just, it'll be hard to control that and be like, hey, 6 feet apart, wear your mask, wear your, I don't want to be telling people what to do, you know, and so we're just like, we can't do it. We're just going to have to wait another year, unfortunately. Well, yeah.
Well, for those who haven't been or don't even know what Homie Fest is, can you talk a little bit about that?
Yeah, so it's a festival that I started with my wife about 7 years ago. And essentially the fest was always in a weekend in the summer, and it was always free. It was always all ages. It was always a safe environment and free camping, and it was just bands. It was like 20 to 30 bands in 2 days. And that seems chaotic, and it was. It really was. It was awesomely chaotic, you know. And because I've been playing music in Portland for so long, I've met so many amazing engineers, so many amazing people that helped me figure out the whole fest, you know. So I have like some volunteer homies, and there was a few Homie Fests where I would DJ until like 7 a.m. So like the bands would be done like around 2 a.m. and everyone's like, yeah, let's keep on partying. I'm like, all right, let's keep on raging. So I would DJ until like 6 or 7 a.m. till the generators ran out of gas. Cause we always use generators, you know, so it's just all like off the grid and all that jazz. So yeah, those are crazy. Those are fun. So hopefully we'll do it next year, you know, when everything is safe again.
I heard you were planning a Homie Fest that was maybe going to happen in Mexico. Is that still a possibility for the future? Because I was like,
I know. We have a homie that he has a property in the coast of Nayarit in this beautiful town. And we were going to do it. We were seriously going to do it. And we went down there and we were like asking for permits and figuring out what to do. Because we're like, it's going to be all ages. You know, the same thing. All ages, the whole town. Because it's literally a town. It's a little town on the coast of Nayarit. And I was like, the whole town's welcome. You know, we just you know, and then so the town people were like, all right, it's going to cost you this, this, and this much. And we're like, whoa. Like, in the end, it ended up, and because we had to rent a stage and we had to, you know, because I don't have all my, I have all my gear here in Portland. Right. So we were going to have to rent everything and it was going to be over $15,000. And I was like, oh, I don't know if I want to like GoFundMe for that. You know, it feels too elitist. And I'm like, just to have a good time, that's a lot of money. Like, I'd rather give that to like, to people who actually need the money. You know, we felt a little selfish. We're like, nah, we can't do this. That's too much money, you know? So the only way that'll work is if like I buy my own gear and I just leave it down in Mexico, which sounds like a great idea. Why not? Yeah,
that's cool.
What does it take to like host like an entire festival? Like who is all involved in like the logistics, the planning, the lineup?
Yeah, that's all pretty much me. Wow. I do it. I do all the booking. I do the lineup. I email all the bands. I figure out all, cause I like, as I aforementioned, I have like I have a bunch of PA stuff. So like I have a whole set up ready to do a fest anywhere, you know, just because I've always loved throwing parties outside. It's always fun, you know, and this is like party vibes right now, you know. It's like, let's go outside, just go to a park, you know. I've always wanted to do that, like just do a DIY show in a park. You just have to bike in and you just have generators and like bike trailers and just do a little show in a forest somewhere. I've always wanted to do that, but now I'm getting older, I'm getting lazier. I'm like, oh, it sounds like so much work. So, but yeah, the logistics are ridiculous, you know, and my wife helps out a lot. And like, we also get like, we have homies who volunteer like with like a first aid kit area and like a waters area and like just making sure everyone stays hydrated, you know. And you know, there's a lot to consider, you know. You want this, because the main thing is you want the safety of everyone. You want everyone to be safe. You don't want anyone like taking some mushrooms and then falling down a ravine somewhere. You know, that's just not, that doesn't sound like fun. So yeah, you have to take safety precautions for sure, you know. But as long as everyone is taking care of each other and everyone's just looking out for each other, it's going to be awesome. I can't wait for all three of you to go and to the next year's Homie Fest. That would be awesome.
Yeah, this would be my first festival. I haven't been able to go any festivals.
At all?
Since well, like, I feel like, because, like, most festivals are, like, 18 or, like, 21 and older.
Oh, yeah. Yeah,
so, and, like, I just turned 18, like, last year, so.
Congratulations.
Yeah, thank you. I feel old now.
No way.
No.
That's awesome. No, I feel old.
I had a freshman call me old. He said, "You have history in the world."
Oh.
And I'm only 18.
Oh my god. So, that's a,
yeah.
But you haven't been. What about PDX Pop? You never went to PDX Pop?
No.
Cause that's an awesome free fest. And down in the waterfront. Have any of y'all been to that? You have?
I have.
Awesome, yeah.
Especially those small festivals. Like, there's so many cool small festivals. Like, they can be a little overwhelming,
I think, sometimes.
Like,
absolutely.
Like, the really big ones, like Sasquatch, yeah. And stuff. But, like, the psychedelic, I forgot
Lose Your Mind?
What it's called. Lose Your Mind Fest. That's so an amazing much fun. Fest, and it's yeah. Like, you know, yeah, and like the small venues we have in Portland, I think we're so spoiled and so lucky to have like all these really great venues. I hope many of them, most of them, or all of
yeah,
them survive.
Yeah, definitely the bigger, the smaller mid-sized venues have definitely survived thanks to all those funding money for them, for sure. But you know, a handful of small venues have died, which is really sad. But hopefully from the ashes, new venues will rise, you know. That was one thing I've always toyed with the idea too, is opening up an all ages venue, but then like having like after hours, like at doing shows from like 12 to 4 in the morning, which is like 21 and over. So you know, because that's the major bummer about venues is that their revenue is from alcohol, and it's so unfortunate. That's why it sucks being 21 and under, because you can't go to any rad shows because they're all over 21 and over just so they could make money with selling booze. You know, and that's so unfortunate, and that's so cheesy, you know? Yeah, that's my beef with that. I hate that. Because, like, and then there's really rad venues like, you know, Wonder Ballroom, where they split the all ages with 21 and over, so, like, everyone still gets to see it, you know? So It's unfortunate that it has to be that way. It's just like this isolation, you know, of individuals just because you're not of a stupid drinking age. I'm sure Nicole can attest to that since you just turned 18. Yeah. Yeah.
I mean, I think the closest thing to a festival that I've been to and that I remember of is probably like Cinco de Mayo. And when like I'm all like at the rides and stuff and it's towards the end of the night and I need to go back to my mom. She's like, she's always inside the tent just like listening to the music. So it's probably the closest that I've been to like a
festival. Is that here at the waterfront?
Yeah.
Is it here in Portland? Because I played a few of those.
Really?
Savila has played a Cinco de Mayo Fest, and my other band, Mascaras, which is like a psychedelic rock band, we played the Cinco de Mayo Fest too. Mm-hmm. They're fun. They're ridiculous. It's like a bunch of paisas down there with their like hats, with the Hanna hats on. They're like, give me that ranchero. That's awesome.
I think I stopped going probably around like 2015-16, I want to say.
Savila played 2016 or 17, something around there. Yeah.
Wow, that's cool.
So you grew up here?
Yeah, I grew up here. Yeah, I've been here like,
that's awesome.
All my life. Yeah.
What? You're a Portland native.
Yeah.
You're hard to find.
Yeah. Yeah. Pretty hard to find. Well, I guess technically I'm more trapped. No, let's just go with Portland. It's Portland.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
I grew up in Portland.
Troutdale is Portland. Whatever.
Troutdale is Portland. Yeah. More about like festivals. When you're not hosting them, like Cinco de Mayo, how do you get contacted to play at stuff like that?
It's just through word of mouth. It's amazing. You know, like someone just like gets my email and just emails me out of the blue. You know, because I also have an 11-piece psychedelic cumbia band called Orquestra Pacifico Tropical. And we always get hit up for festivals because we're just a big, huge like dance party band. So, you know, people just, you know, a lot of bookers are just like, what's going to be a big band that's just going to fill that stage? So I just feel really fortunate that it's all through emails, you know, because I don't have any managers. Like, none of my bands have managers, right? We just do it ourselves. We book all ourselves. We do everything. It's the true definition of DIY, which can take up a lot of time. Like, yesterday, in fact, I was over at Brisa's house, the vocalist of Savila, and we were shoving records into boxes to mail. We were handwriting each one. So it's like, that's like the mundane work. You're like, oh, this is what you got to do. You sell all these records online. You got to hand deliver these fools. So, that you got one? Oh, what? That's right.
Literally, like, Poppy dropped these. I bought these on
Instagram. I remember that.
And, he was like, I'll deliver. And I'm like, this is an $8 tape or a $10 tape or whatever it was. I'm like, that seems excessive.
No, that's what we do.
I'm like, that's awesome. What we do. It's really handwritten notes.
Thank you.
I have one little complaint. Why do you not have CDs? I use CDs.
because we're not in Europe or Mexico. Aww. I know. It's just like no one really buys CDs in the States.
Yeah.
But you're right. You know what? I'm gonna make you a bunch of CDs.
I'm gonna
I love that you're a CD lover. That's amazing.
Yeah, I'm not gonna burn my own CD of your tracks. Just go like like 2000.
That's so tight. Do you have a CDR? What you got going? You got a CD player, portable?
Well, I don't really have much. I just personally like collecting CDs because
that's cool.
I had a car, a 2002 Ford Escape, and before like I got like the stereo upgraded, I was stuck listening to
CDs only.
Yeah. For like a good couple of weeks.
Yeah.
So I think I only have like four of them, but I'm trying to build up
my I hear CDs. You.
Yeah,
so. Yeah, CDs is gonna be retro probably in 10 years.
Yeah,
you know how like VHS is cool right now, so I bet your CDs are gonna be cool in 10 years.
Yeah. Well, and like it's better quality than like what you hear like from your phone.
Oh, of course.
The technology. Yeah. It's better quality than what you hear on your phone. So
you're 100% correct. You're 100% correct on that. It's the worst listening to an album on a phone.
It's even worse listening to music on the radio. Like, have you?
Oh,
like,
my God!
If you listen to like music on the radio and then your phone and then your yeah. CD, it's just like it's such a like elevation of
it's a drastic difference.
Quality. Yeah.
Yeah, especially if your radio is like a AM, it's like a janky like mm-hmm. factory speakers where it's just treble. There's no bass yeah. at all. It just sounds like this. It sounds like that. Yeah. I think we've all been there.
Well, I kind of wanted to ask, you know, what has been one of your favorites, or I mean, since you have so much, what are you, one of your top songs that you really like?
My out of my stuff. Oh wow,
yes,
that's a weird question, huh?
You know, it doesn't have to be your favorite. Just one that you know, maybe right now you're just really in the mood to listen to right now.
You know, so Luz Helena from Ilabamba, she just where Mascaras is about to release our album, and then we have some of our really great friends singing on some of the songs, and the song specifically that Luz Helena sings on the Mascaras song, which hasn't been released yet, is really incredible. It's called Cold Castle, and I don't know what the name of the album is yet, but yeah, we're about to release it on vinyl, I think, by the end of the year, hopefully. But that song has been in my head a lot lately, because just Luz Helena is just such an amazing musician. You know, what she does to that is just gorgeous. So maybe I'll let you listen to that.
Cool. Before we got on the call, we kind of were having a conversation about like some of the stuff that your bandmates sing about and like what the songs are about and the way your like presentation and shows and stuff. And Nicole and I were kind of talking about how a lot of them feel like there's some kind of like spiritual quality or like ritual yeah. quality. And maybe even like yeah. magic. There's kind of a feeling of magic
absolutely.
In a lot of it.
Yeah.
So I'm just like wondering, like, if you want to say anything about that magic and how that plays.
Absolutely. With Savila specifically, for this new EP that we just released last week, we definitely were aiming for something that would resonate with our ancestors, you know, because all three of us are Mexican, you know, and we definitely, there's like a lot of ritualistic and like ancestor acknowledgement in old school Mexican cultura, and it's just a reminder of where we come from and who we are. And Brisa does a really incredible job of expressing that through words and through her vocal emotion, you know, and Fabiola on guitar and bass and everything else, she's just a magician, you know. And I feel like these two mystical women that are just conjuring this like archaic magic, and I'm just there just to like stir the pot of sound, you know. And I just feel fortunate. I feel fortunate that I could be a part of that, you know, especially just being a cis dude, you know, because, and you know, and it's so crazy because sometimes I have guilt. I'm like, damn, I'm a guy. And I'm just like, well, at least I'm a brown guy. Shit. At least I got, you know, but I'm just like, you know, because one thing that I think is important for a lot of musicians, especially if you're a dude, is to like use your platform to raise women of color and like women's voices, yo. You know, this is not just a man's world, and that's silly. It never was, you know. So I feel really fortunate to be able to play music with these women that can like conjure this archaic sound. And then we add like club music to it. So it's like, that's why we have our own genre called Ancestral Club, because we're trying to be like, this music is like 1,000 years old, but 1,000 years old in another galaxy where like all these space creatures are bumping in the club, you know? So that's what we envision.
That's cool. I watched the documentary sort of short film that you all made this morning, and I hadn't seen that.
Which
before,
one? The Puro Sávila or the other one with the borders without crossing?
With your mothers.
Oh, yes. Yes. That's Échale.
Yes, Échale Sávila.
Yeah, Échale Sávila. Yeah.
And that one also, like, it's, yeah, very, like, it feels very much like conjuring, because you're talking about ancestry and honoring your maternal lineages.
Absolutely.
And all this thing. And it was, like, it was extremely moving. I guess I just wanted to give you a moment to talk about making
absolutely,
that film,
absolutely.
If you like.
So we had this idea of having all our moms come together so they could all meet each other, and we could all just be in the same environment together and just vibe on each other's history and present, you know. So And then I had this crazy idea. So we're thinking about like, okay, we need, let's just have this idea of them all being together. Maybe we can go to the desert here. And then I said, well, what about if we also have a scene of us, all of them playing our respected instruments? So my mom behind the drum kit, Fabi's mom behind the guitar, and Brisa's mom singing. So we did. So within that, you can see there's scenes where like the moms are playing the instruments like they're us, you know. And my mom had never sat behind a drum kit before, and I kept this and I did this video of her, and it's adorable. she was banging the shit out of those drums. It was amazing. She's like, this is easy, mijo. This is easy. I can do this. I'm like, yeah, you can, mom. Yeah, you can. So what we did was we flew in my mom. We flew in all our moms.
Yeah.
My mom from Mexico, Fabi's mom from Texas, and then actually Brisa is just like Nicole, is a Portland native. Brisa, the vocalist, is a Portland native, so her mom just lives down the street. So we all got together, and then our really good friend Maria Jo Dixon did all the visuals, and like they made all our clothes by hand. So it was like a really crazy process, and we drove all the way to John Day, which is like 7 hours, you know, to go see the red painted hills. If y'all never have done that, oh my goodness, it's magnificent out there. It's just a beautiful old fossilized bed out in the middle of the desert. It is so beautiful. It's so ancient, you know. So we went out there and we filmed for like 2 to 3 days. And then our really great friend Caitlin Diaz, they released it. They recorded everything on a Super 8. On an old film, and just made it look like this beautiful old documentary, just, you know, acknowledging and representing our culture, you know. So that's how it became, and it was so beautiful. It's just very heartfelt, you know. And again, I feel humble just being a part of that, you know. I just feel really honored to be a part of that. So yeah, it was a beautiful experience.
I love how many of your projects, and we've been talking a lot about Savila, but you know, you have so many bands and all of these projects, but I love so much how like a lot of your work has this like super emotional, like everything on the table kind of quality to
yeah.
it, but also has like humor.
Oh yeah.
Like there's so little humor also in a lot of art
yeah.
that it's like, it's really refreshing to be like, yeah, it's okay to like feel all your feelings and also laugh. Like that's part of your feelings.
Absolutely. Absolutely. I think through laughter is like, there's comfort. There's comfort through laughter, you know? And like, there's a lot of bands and like a lot of brands have like stage fright, you know, it's dauntingly scary just to be on a big stage with an instrument in front of you. And you feel like, oh man, I hope I don't mess up this song. But if you go at it just like, you know, I don't care if I fuck up, whatever. It's just, this is fun. We're here to have fun. And that's the main key. It's like, we're here to have fun and we're here to have a good time. And if the audience feels that, then there's this connectivity and there's this conduit of just happiness. You know, everyone's just together having a good time. And it's like, it's okay if the song sounds like garbage. We're all just in the same room having a great time. And that's what's important for sure. Yeah, so yeah, I definitely use humor as just like a breaking of the ice. But it's because I'm naturally a funny person. I'm always joking around. And, you know, I can be serious. Check it out. See?
Ayana, do you have any other questions that you wanted to ask? Not to put you on the spot, just making space.
So, a while ago, you did mention how you didn't want to spend like $15,000 on some new equipment.
Uh-huh.
But like, would you want to maybe host or be a part of any like of the music group similar to what you were put in when you were younger? Like,
yeah, for sure. Yeah. Yeah. That's a valid question. Absolutely. But the thing, another factor about specifically Homie Fest happening in Mexico was that it would be hard for people to buy their own ticket to go down there to see a show too, because that's a lot of money. Like once you get there, everything's free. You'll be able to camp for free and there's be free food and everything, but you have to pay your $1,000 ticket to go down there. And that's also just kind of like oh yeah, easy, I'll just throw $1,000 just to go to this cool fest in Mexico. So yeah, there's a lot of varying factors for sure. But I mean, I think within time, I would love to do festivals in different countries, you know, and just have like kids from all areas just to go to see music. You know, why not? Music, you know, music is universal, and music, you know, speaks volumes. So yeah, that would be an amazing goal, just to be able to like do fests around the world for free and just have people just go to a show. It's like, go enjoy it. Enjoy this free show.
You know, sounds awesome.
That would be magical. Yeah.
All right. The final question.
Let's hear it. No. Hold on.
We like to ask all of our guests, what advice would you have for any youth or anyone who's growing up and wanting to become an artist, a drummer, a pianoist, just anyone who would like to follow in your footsteps? What would you say to them?
I would say, keep an open mind, be free, and be accepting. Because we all make mistakes and we all have to learn somewhere. You know, so it's like, there's no rush, especially if you're young. It's like, you're going to have to learn your instrument, you know, so it takes time. And it's like, be patient. Yeah, I would say be patient, be compassionate, and be open. That's what I would give to the youth. And it pays off because, like, honestly, music is absolute therapy. It's just something else. I can't describe it. For me, music is, I become another person. I become this entity that just like is channeling this movement, you know? So it's the world. It's the bee's knees for sure. So thank you all so much for having me. Y'all are incredible.
Yeah.
It's been a pleasure.
Great to have you here and great to learn more about your music. And it was nice to talk to someone, you know, who shares the same like background with me. And I think
that's awesome.
It's really cool.
Thank you. Thank you for saying that.
Do you have anything you want to plug?
Savila's playing an outdoor show the end of this month, and it's all ages, but it's kind of expensive. It's at that new spot, Zidell Yards, you know where Zidell Yards is. So they're doing like shows in the outside. So that's May 29th. So there's still a few tickets left for that. So that's going to be awesome. So we're playing like an hour and a half or something. It's like an outdoor, awesome thing. So
it's going to be exciting.
And then how does somebody find, do you have any like social media things that you want people to look at to find you?
I do all my social media just mainly through Instagram. I try to keep my social interactions less just because it's good for my psyche and my mental ability and my mental brain. So yeah, you can find me on Instagram at Papi Fimbres, just my name. And yeah, I definitely post a lot of stuff there. So all music related. Thank you all so much.
Yeah, thank you. And for people listening on KBOO, you can find this show on our KBOO archives at kboo.fm/program/art-talk-bus-stop. And you can also find us on, I got that down now.
Yeah, you did.
You can find us on Instagram by searching for the hashtag art-talk-bus-stop, which has old posts that'll lead you all different kinds of places to find old episodes. We've got a band camp that you can listen to the archive on also at Art Talk Bus Stop. And thanks to KBOO for giving us extra time for their youth focus.
Thank you, KBOO.
We had a whole hour.
That's amazing. Love you, KBOO.
Yeah. Thank you so much, Poppy.
Thank you all
really
so much.
Nice to talk with you.
You guys are amazing. Thank you. Enjoy this beautiful
You're
day.
You're amazing.
Y'all rule.
You too.
Bye.
Okay,
bye.
Hi, I'm Erica Thomas, producer of Art Talk Bus Stop, a monthly show where youth interview Portland artists about how they do their work and make a living. As a believer in youth-powered media, we ask that you show your support for KBOO's youth programs. When you donate to KBOO for Youth Day, your donation will go directly to support KBOO's youth programming, allowing KBOO to continue providing unique opportunities in radio for young producers and volunteers looking to amplify voices from their communities. Donate to KBOO today at kboo.fm/give or text KBOO to 44-321. Help us empower another generation of independent radio makers.
Portland.
Hi, I'm Erica Thomas, producer of Art Talk Bus Stop, a monthly show where youth interview Portland artists about how they do their work and make a living. As a believer in youth-powered media, we ask that you show your support for KBOO's youth programs. When you donate to KBOO for Youth